Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I hate seeing it. There was one hot dog when I was still working for Commissioner Kohler. You might remember the picture I gave you. I'm on my way home driving through Warrington, and right across from that wonderful establishment, Cubs Crawfish, there's a water fountain. And at that water fountain, I see a guy smoking a cigar or a cigarette, having a beer, sitting inside the water fountain. And this is a guy who'd been there, who's always panhandling, had always been there.
This is Commissioner Steve Stroberger, District 1 in Escambia County. That's kind of the Beulah area. Of course, it goes all the way down to Perdido Key. But in the county commission meeting where they were talking about what I consider to be not that big of changes to the ordinances related to homelessness, but, you know, anytime you talk about homelessness, there's going to be a bit of a hubbub. And this was about the median change, changing from the width of a median on which you cannot stand unless you are actively crossing from one side of the street to the other, from 6 feet to 8.5 feet, what they say is more in alignment with the FDOT standards. And, you know, basically Steve says, look, I hate seeing it. And I see these, you know, folks all over, this guy in the fountain and all the, and there's all kinds of other examples of this. And then, you know, Mel Pino, who is a frequent flyer at the county commission meetings, and, you know, she's responding to Steve saying, I don't like seeing this.
So support this ordinance. It is the spirit of a lot of this that is what people find so revolting. And I don't remember the passage from the Bible where Jesus says, man, I can't stand looking at these poor people. I remember him washing Mary Magdalene's feet. I remember him forgiving the thief that hung on the cross next to him. I remember the passage that Commissioner May quoted at the beginning of the meeting about, well, not at the beginning, during the proclamation, because, you know, the janitors are not the least of us. The homeless are the least of us.
You know, I don't think I have ever maybe agreed with Mel Pino on anything, but she's not wrong. And it's an important reminder that when we're thinking about, and I'm in this boat too, you know, we give a lot of our money to help out with, you know, poverty relief in this area. Also, I hate to see the panhandlers. You know, I want to help poor people. And also, I think that they make our community look horrible. And I wish I didn't have to see the trash underneath the I-110 overpass. And I wish people didn't have to be bothered when they're eating, you know, outside of the restaurants. And yet, at the same time, where she's coming from on this, that, you know, the attitude towards the presence of poor people in the Bible doesn't seem to be get rid of them. But the state ordinance, which says they can't camp in public, they have to be, you know, displaced from public places if they are deciding to sleep overnight or maybe even during the day. That's a topic of the other ordinance that they were discussing. Except if you're going to create maybe a campground where you can, you know, collect them all into one place, but only temporarily for a year and only in certain places, and nobody's had an appetite to do that. So can they be on the median? Well, they shouldn't be on the median because, you know, they're interfering with traffic. And they shouldn't be on the median because it's unsafe for them, because people sometimes get clipped. And as we heard from Clay Romano from Waterfront Rescue Mission, the median thing really matters, you know, as well as other things, because, you know, people are getting hurt. You know, people are that close to the traffic and they're going to get in trouble. So, you know, there's a lot. I mean, the homeless topic is always complicated. Meanwhile, Lumen May.
Many of those federal programs are being cut. Our human services is more important than ever because people are. It's teachers' aides, it's bus drivers, it's custodial staff people that can't find a place to live. More than ever, people having to move back in with their parents, and they can't move back in their parents when they have 3 or 4 children. So as a county, I hope that we pass this, but I hope that we have the discussion, maybe as a committee of the whole, of what more can we do?
Yeah, and that's true, too. People are suffering. Some people are prospering. You know, the town is booming. Other people are really struggling. That's the nature of a capitalist enterprise, that there's going to be a mixture of success rates. But, you know, can we do more? Should the county be doing more? Does the county have any money to do more? What is effective doing? You know, giving to panhandlers is not particularly effective. Building a shelter might be more effective. You know, I recommend strongly that what you do is donate your money to organizations that you know are going to give it out accordingly, that, you know, Manna Food Pantries and Waterfront and, you know, Loaves and Fishes and Bright Bridges and My Father's Arrows. These are all organizations that we support with our money. So I recommend all of them. And you know, I'm not a necessarily a big fan of government solving these problems. I think that individuals can solve them. But, you know, if people are not solving them, government comes around because people aren't taking care of their own stuff. You know, if everybody took care of their own stuff, if everybody took care of the community the way it's supposed to work, you wouldn't really need government. We have government because people don't do that. And so what happens when there are all kinds of people suffering on our, you know, in our community? Well, to some degree, government is a response or a reaction to that. Mike Kohler.
Yeah, I struggle with this as a nurse and my wife being a teacher. There's a lot of kids in this county that live in cars at night. That's sad. I mean, as a community, it's hard to believe that happens, but that's in every community.
That's true, too. That's true, too. And it's really painful to consider, but it is definitely a fact. Steve Stroberger, I'll get to him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. 90, 98, 29 all look good this morning so far. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So Steve Stroberger, after getting, you know, criticized by Mel for, you know, expressing what she describes as an unbiblical or unchristian aversion to seeing homeless people, he comes back and explains.
I guess I want to clarify what I said about not liking to see it. I don't like even seeing the idea of homelessness because I'm sympathetic to it. I think I'd mentioned that on a Thanksgiving. I brought a homeless guy home to my home for Thanksgiving. Mistake. Not a good idea.
So what he meant to say was he doesn't like the seeing of it because that evidences something existing that he wishes did not exist. I think you can say both. Look, I'm a big fan of just being honest about things. And I will tell you, I personally hate the existence of people who don't have homes. And they don't have homes for all kinds of reasons, right? Drug addiction, bad luck, medical problems, medical bills, just there's, you know, the price of housing. There's all kinds of reasons that people might wind up, you know, they have mental disabilities. There's all kinds of reasons. But I hate the fact that anybody is living like that. I hate that anybody is, you know, living a suffering life, a painful life. I mean, I'm a human. I care about people. I hate their suffering. At the same time, I also will say I don't like to see them. I don't like to see poor, dirty, homeless people making our community look ugly, because they do. You know, the kind of community that we want to have is not tents and tarps and trash and filth and panhandling and all the rest of it. I consider myself to be a Christian. I think that there's something to be said for having great compassion for people who are in struggling circumstances and doing what you can for them. I also don't think that it's out of the pale to prefer to have a society that is nice and clean and neat and orderly and not filled with trash or graffiti or smells horrible. I mean, why is that incomprehensible? 437-1620. So I would take Steve's position. I would say I believe in both. You know, I believe in being an agent of change to try to make it better for people. I also, you know, in the sense that it's a bad thing to have it happen, but I also think it's okay to want your community to look better and to not want vagrants wandering around making it look horrible. That's not a terrible thing to think or to say.
But, I mean, even you can see the evidence of homelessness, too. And I hate seeing that. There's a guy I see frequently, Navy Boulevard. You know who he is. He's always there. He never cleans up after himself. He just leaves all the stuff there. He goes, I don't know where he goes, but he comes back panhandling, leaves everything there. He just leaves a mess. I don't think being homeless means you need to be filthy.
Or that you need to destroy something that's of value to the community, which is the public image that we have. You know, nice streets, nice parks, nice homes. Are they people? Of course they are. Are they made in the image? Of course they are. Should we care about their plight? Of course we should. Does that mean that they should be able to ruin the thing that we as a community are creating in the way it looks and the just enjoyment we have of having a place that's nice. No, those are not incompatible things. But it's worth, I mean, people sometimes feel like you've been challenged on that. I don't remember Jesus saying this. Okay, Jesus hung out with, you know, sinners and poor people and also, you know, Pharisees. I mean, he hung out with a lot of different people, and you should too. And don't be ashamed of them and, you know, don't find it startling to you. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that you have to embrace the lowest quality of presentation that's going to be true if we have no control or no way to make things look better. But if you think I'm crazy, text me, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Ashna and Avant Health 65 Plus today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the many benefits of coming to Ashna and Avant Health 65 Plus, your local primary care clinic for the 65 Plus community. You'll hear about the classes offered, like cooking, exercise, and more, with two Pensacola locations on 9 Mile Road and Mobile Highway.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Anderson Subaru sharing more than ever during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Buy a new Subaru now through January 2nd, and Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities, the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation with 0.9% financing for 72 on 2025 Outback models, 1.9% financing for 48 on 2025 Forester models, and 1.9% financing for 72 on new Crosstrek models. It's never been easier to share the love. So far, we've donated over $200,000 to fight breast cancer in Pensacola. At Anderson Subaru, now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation per new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share. For details.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at Pinair.org/auto-refi. That's Pinair.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PINAIR for complete details.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here.
The party's on.
I don't know anybody who could live with themselves after lying to little Cindy Lou Who. 6:23 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Merry Christmas in advance. 9 days. it's coming so soon. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning, Andrew. Australian police are confirming that the gunman in the Bondi Beach mass shooting had ISIS flags on their car. Speaking at a news conference, the New South Wales police commissioner also said they had IEDs in their vehicle. And of course, 15 people, at least 15 people were killed Sunday when that happened at a Hanukkah event at Sydney Beach.
I still am amazed by the guy who ran in and grabbed the gun from him.
Oh, yes. Wow, that guy, he was very courageous.
Yeah. And recovering now from being shot a couple times, I think, is what I read the report on. But still, I mean, that's wow. You know, amazing. What else could have happened, you know?
It would take an awful lot to run in and grab an armed man and wrestle with him to get the gun away.
Everybody thinks they'd be a hero. Everybody wants to think they'd be a hero. I think you know when you actually are. And until then, you have to kind of, well, maybe. I mean, I'd like to believe I would be. Let's hope.
Absolutely. NASDAQ is planning to extend trading to 23 hours a day, 5 days a week, according to a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. That new schedule would start at 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday and close Friday at 8 p.m. Day sessions would run 4 a.m. to 8 p.m. And President Trump is hosting a Hanukkah reception tonight at the White House. That event has been held by the sitting president since the tradition was started by George W. Bush in 2001.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you are trying to get into the NAS front gate, it is backed up past sunset, so just be aware of that and pack your patience. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. 90 and 98 all look good. I'm not seeing any other delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Pardon me, that was a burp that sounded very much like David Wayne previewing audio.
Didn't get it down in time. Sorry.
I was thinking, you know, most of the time when you're listening to a radio show, it's the history of like TV and radio is never acknowledge your mistakes. And I'm always like, dude, we're people. It's live radio. Things happen. I think it's entertaining. I think it's funny. 437-1620. Don't hide your flaws. Just embrace them. We are who we are. Right, John?
Yes.
And what did you say about me in the break? I made a comment about something or other. And you're like, every day I learn a little bit more about how your brain works.
I do. I get more and more insight into Andrew McKay.
My God, that's not an onion you need to peel all the time. All right, if you're thinking about buying or selling a house, obviously the main thing you want when you're selling is you want to get a good price, but you want to get the like all the way to the end. You want to actually get the deal done. You want closing to happen. And I mean, it's no good to get to a day before closing and then the deal falls apart, right? It's no good to put a house on the market and then just not get offers. Or get offers you're not willing to take, right? None of that is, you want the end result of actually being happy with the sale. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they do this a lot. During the height of the market, you know, when it was really easy to sell homes, they were well over 200 homes a year. It's been a little bit lower than that. Now that the market is a little more challenging, higher prices, you know, worse interest rates, you know, unwillingness for people to move. But even so, they sold 175 2 years ago, 165 last year. That's still 3 to 4 a week on average. That's really good. This year, they're actually up. In a down market, they're up about 30% at 180, and they're going to close nearly 200 by the end of the year. They're, you know, got a couple that are still kind of pending. But that's amazing to be up in this market. And she says the reason is we just do all the basics. We do all the stuff we're supposed to do. You know, we have a very good team of experienced pros who have done this enough that they really know how to price, how to stage, how to, you know, photograph for online. You might not think it matters, but it really matters. What's the first point of entry for people looking at a home? It's the photographs online. So it's all of that stuff together produces the end result. And even sometimes it's how to price. She was telling me recently there was a home that another realtor, and that's a thing. She said a lot of people come to them after having had other realtors not succeed. Another realtor told her this house would not sell for more than $499. She's like, I think I can get $625 for it. So she listed it at $625, 10 days, sold cash. So you just have to know. And she does, and her team knows. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. A couple of people texting in about the homeless thing. Let's see, one person said, homelessness is not a free pass to live in squalor or be destructive. I know that homelessness exists, but that doesn't mean that the community has to look like a dump as collateral to it. Agreed. I mean, and you can believe in both, you know, and you can work on it with not being, you know, ashamed of wanting to have nice things as well. Let's see. Somebody says, the absolute last thing that somebody should ever do is give money to a street panhandler. I agree. Don't do that. Give to agencies that do work on your behalf and will be smarter with your money. We've had this conversation a million times, but if you're new to the area, the short version is that street panhandling doesn't help them. And it just, you do it to assuage your own guilt or your own feeling of having done a generous thing, but you're actually encouraging the thing that you're wanting to not have so much. You want people to get real help. And the way for them to get real help is not to be camped out with a piece of cardboard on the side of the road, you know, interfering with traffic and, you know, cluttering up the community and making us look like the homeless camp. You get more of what you feed. It's true in everything. If you pay money for something, you're going to get more of that thing. If you pay money for people panhandling, you're going to get more of that thing. The only way that stops is if collectively people are like, no, we're not going to do this anymore. Well, Andrew, doesn't the Bible say to give when people ask? Yeah, so give deliberately through agencies that are going to do the help. I'll tell you my theory. I don't know this for a fact. I would love to know. My theory is that people who give out their door to the panhandler are people who do not give very much otherwise. And you feel guilty about not giving up much otherwise. Well, give more otherwise, then you won't feel guilty about not giving to the panhandler because you know you're doing better with your money through agencies who are going to do the work for you. Anyway, somebody says, don't be drawn in by thinking homeless are sad and lonely. They party like it's 1999. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes true. And the majority of them are the best actors on the planet. I think that is true. I also think people are sincere. Both. I mean, both. You know, be fair across the board. There are people who are genuinely suffering. There are people who do this as a choice. There are people who, again, it's such a complicated problem. But just because it's complicated doesn't mean that we can't talk about it or that we can't do things to make it better. Do I think that our area is doing enough? I actually don't. I don't think we're doing enough. And that doesn't mean we need to give more. We just need to be smarter in how we address it. And there are things we can do better.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Police releasing some new surveillance video hoping to track down the person of interest in last weekend's shooting at Brown University that left two students dead and nine others hurt.
These videos appear to show the potential gunman walking near Brown University at 2 p.m. on Saturday. That is just 2 hours before the shooting. The man is seen wearing a dark beanie, a surgical mask over his face, and a dark two-tone jacket.
That's Fox's Brian Yenis in Providence, a first court appearance scheduled for today for 32-year-old Nick Reiner, who's suspected in the stabbing deaths of his parents, actor-director Rob Reiner, and his wife.
32-year-old Nick Reiner spoke openly about his struggles with drug addiction and homelessness. Law enforcement sources say there was no sign of forced entry here and that it appears the two died of knife wounds.
That's Fox's Matt Finn. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got clear skies right now. It is 34 degrees here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. Heritage oak trees at the old Baptist Hospital site could be removed. The city recently approving a permit to remove and prune 38 trees, some of them heritage oaks, hundreds of years old. The Paces Foundation is building affordable senior housing at the site. Tree advocate Alicia Trawick has concerns about the plan.
You know, God gave us these beautiful trees hundreds of years ago, some of them, and why are we going to burn them to the ground in 5 minutes?
Trawick wants a compromise, pausing the removals so both housing and trees can be preserved. Resident Kristen Brown Sanders agreed that development could happen on the east side while saving the heritage oaks on the other end as a park. Residents are planning a protest at City Hall today at 2:30 p.m. An explosive device was found on the front porch of a Milton home on Monday. Milton police and fire responded to the home on Clayton Lane after the live device was discovered. Residents were evacuated. A safety perimeter was established. Bomb technicians from the Bureau of Fire, Arson, and Explosives examined the device with an X-ray, then safely removed and secured it off-site for controlled disposal. Police say the ordnance belonged to a recently deceased elderly man and was found by family members cleaning out the property. Nobody was hurt. Investigators determined there was no criminal intent, and the threat to public safety was eliminated. Now, Florida's rolling out new license plates to mark America's 250th birthday next July 4th. The America 250 plate, available starting this week. Officials say it's a good way for Floridians to show their pride in American history. You can get one the next time you register or renew your vehicle at your tax collector's office. It works just like a regular Florida plate. All the standard fees apply. You can learn more at America250FL.com. Or just stop by the tax collector's office. Well, nobody was hurt after a FedEx truck caught on fire in Pinellas County. That happened yesterday near State Road 580 in Dunedin. Fire crews were able to prevent the flames from spreading into the cargo area. And they say no packages were lost or damaged. Emotional testimony helped frame Governor Ron DeSantis' push for an AI Bill of Rights during a roundtable at FAU. Among those speaking was an Orlando mother who said AI played a role in her son's death.
And when I say sexually groom, I mean the same as an adult
doing this type of behavior, like sexting a minor, these very explicit conversations and role playing.
And DeSantis says stories like that highlight what states or why states need to act. He said a recent executive order from President Trump would not stop the state from putting protections into law to limit how AI interacts with children and families. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly, not seeing any other issues. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are starting the day off cold again with temperatures in the 30s. We'll warm up into the upper 50s for your highs today. Plenty of sunshine for your afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 49. Heading into Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 66 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Heading into Thursday, 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 70 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 33 degrees. It's clear skies here in Pensacola. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are sharply lower by more than 1% on Ukraine talks and weak China data. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $55.95 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $59.72 per barrel. Former Kellanova CEO Steve Callahan will become Kraft Heinz's latest CEO in the new year. Kraft Heinz is planning to break up into two separate publicly traded companies by the second half of 2026. After the split, Callahan will lead the business that will own high-growth brands like Heinz, Philadelphia, and Kraft Mac and Cheese. Ford Motor Company said it will no longer make the F-150 Lightning electric pickup truck, instead opting for an extended range version of the vehicle. The company has lost $13 billion on EVs since 2023 and said it expects to take a $19.5 billion hit, largely in the fourth quarter due to the EV business. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 41, the NASDAQ down 137. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
CVS Health supports people in the moments that matter, from picking up a prescription to connecting care. With nearly 5 million daily interactions and serving 185 million consumers and 1.5 million healthcare professionals, CVS Health holds a trusted place in healthcare. By simplifying care and improving health, we're helping people get the care they need. Learn more at cvshealth.com/investorday.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stores.
The city appears to be ready to
engaging podcasts and various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
We've had some issues with our copper pilot program, which is removing an abundance of copper from our treated effluent before it goes into the river. We've had some success with some products, but not consistent success that we're looking for. However, once we turn on the land-based effluent disposal system, that requirement goes away. Copper is no longer a concern for land-based systems. So we're solving that problem by changing the disposal methodology. But the state has given us an additional year to work on the pilot project with the current discharge.
If you're wondering where the drama is, ugh, City of Milton, so boring. It's like good government happening. That's... It's a little bit of fake news this morning because there's no big drama this week. In fact, I have to give the City of Milton credit for the most boring meeting I've ever heard and generally just good news. So well done, Milton. Nobody wants to hear it when it works well. No, but Ed Spears is doing such a great job, city manager, and he's saying, look, the setup here was this is having to do with the wastewater treatment plant, which has been, you know, all drama all the time for the last couple of years. They have an issue with the copper in the discharge and the effluent, but they're, you know, switching over to the ground-based discharge system that's, you know, to get the water out of the Blackwater River. And so that's going to be solved anyway. But in the meantime, they've got a one-year extension on dealing with the copper. And then came the big news.
The reason they did that is because they have extended our deadline for removal of effluent from the Blackwater River to December 31st, 2032. This aligns the city of Milton with the remainder of the state of Florida. We're no longer being treated differently. And that is a statutory requirement that is in law that everyone must remove all discharge from state waters, any state waters, by that deadline in 2032. We will be well ahead of that deadline when we turn on our new land-based system, which you bought the last piece of property required for that a few weeks ago. And we have closed on that purchase. You own the property today.
That's it, man. Game over. I mean, you know, barring catastrophe, what he just said is the end of all the drama. Well, you would think. First of all, the deadline, one of the pressing problems for Milton was that FDEP, Florida Department of Environmental Protection, had put a time limit on getting the discharge from the existing wastewater treatment plant out of the Blackwater River. Yes, it discharges into Blackwater River, which is normal for treatment plants, okay? They can do spray fields, they can do marshes, they can do rivers and lakes. The idea is that, you know, we're kind of moving away from discharging into waterways. Even though we don't need to, we are, okay? So they were up against a deadline. I think the original deadline was like now. I think it was December of this year, if I remember correctly. And they were going to be in violation. And then remember, there was all this crisis around the wastewater treatment plant, and they had the tens of millions of dollars of funding. It was ready to go. And the Save Our Blackwater people pitched their giant fit, you know, screaming and kicking on the floor. And they finally got a new slate of people put in the city council. And they completely ditched all the work that was done by Sandy Woodbury and Joe Cook and former city manager Randy Jorgensen. And they completely abandoned that plan based on what I thought were the completely ridiculous concerns about the Save Our Blackwater River people. But fine, they won. Politically, they won. Okay. And then we thought, what now? Well, they found a new site. It's not that far from the other site, but it's not on the, theoretically, the edge of the river. It's not, you know, right on the backyard of the people who were pitching the primary fit. And so they found a new site. We've found a lot of funding. We've got an extension of the timeline to get the wastewater out. They bought the land for the spray field. Like, we're good. It's all working. Like, despite the crisis, catastrophe, and drama over the last several years, this project, an essential project for the city of Milton, is finally, like, on track. And because FDEP pushed back the deadline, there's, like, no issue. 2032, we got 7 years. We're going to be way ahead of getting that because the wastewater treatment plant is going to discharge onto the spray fields as soon as we can get the pipe and the spray fields done, which is going to be not that long.
The concerted efforts, your actions, the state has seen that and is rewarding that, seeing the commitment going forward. And they have, we've worked very diligently to rebuild relationships with FDEP, showing just let our actions speak for itself. We'll get this project done. And they are aligning with us in that effort.
Yep. Boring.
Man, I had a big smile on my face when I heard the music. I was like,
listen, let me tell you, I think there is a drama coming. I'm aware of some things. I think there's a drama coming. But it's not in this meeting, at least not yet. And so this meeting was, it was so boring that I'm even going to play Pam Mitchell and give her her victory lap. I am. She's one of the keys, the Save Our Blackwater Pitchfork Posse. She's one of the primaries, okay? And I'm going to give her a victory lap.
And this has been recorded. So
yeah, not wrong. I mean, this, give it where it's due. It's due.
Pam Mitchell, Milton, Florida. I just want to applaud this council and staff for all the hard work over the last year that got you to this place. And as Mr. Spears had said, DEP has by issuing this amended order, they've acknowledged the hard work and the diligence and just your mindset to have a better plant in a better location. And on behalf of Save Blackwater River, our board, we can't thank you enough because that's all we asked for from day one was the right kind of plant in the right location. And y'all did it. Thank you.
Yeah. So there you go. We're done here for now. I don't think we're entirely done, but you remember it was, what is it, a year ago? When were we in the big throws of the 2 years ago, I can't remember now, Collins, I think it was maybe 2 years anyway, and it was all kinds of uncertainty around everything and upheaval and lawsuits and blah, blah, blah. And by the way, that stuff has not been resolved exactly, but we'll see. But you know, here we are. It's Christmas. There's a Christmas miracle. The city of Milton is functioning well. Ed's doing a great job. The wastewater treatment plant is on track. FDP has moved back the deadlines. They're not going to be in violation. Not going to be having to beg forgiveness for not hitting their targets. It's all good for the most part. So, yay! I mean, yay! I should be. This is the, you know, what Colin said would happen didn't happen. He got rid of the city of Milton Melodrama Theater. He got rid of it. He didn't get rid of it, but it. I wouldn't say it's gone just yet. We'll see. I mean, it's still Milton. You still have some people. All right, John Pickens, who lives in Milton. Do you take this as a celebration, John, or are you disappointed that we didn't get a good episode?
I mean, you heard the audience applause for it because, yes.
Totally spontaneous in our live studio audience.
I know, right?
Well done. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents are aboard to you. Highway 29, both northbound and southbound, as you approach 9 Mile Road in either direction. Starting to see a minor slowdown, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10. About a 5-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I don't know what this show would be without this. Listen, there's going to be oh my God, like I said, I'm watching this city council meeting from last Thursday, this 6-hour marathon. Oh, there's no shortage of material in the area. There's not a shortage of material. All right. Hey, if you are 64 turning 65, or you are retiring, or you are just interested because you have questions about Medicare, you want to know about Advantage and Supplement and Medicaid and prescription drugs, and you know, what are these terms, and people are calling you or people are sending you letters and you don't know what's going on. Hey, Ricky Stewart is a dear friend of mine. We've known as long as we've lived here. She's wonderful. Her family does insurance. She does this one part. She helps people understand and get signed up for Medicare and then, you know, manage your benefits. And, you know, she's not just there during open enrollment. She's there all year round for you. Okay. So she is a person you can call anytime if you have questions about this stuff. So many other listeners have already talked with her. If I were 64, turned 65, I would definitely be calling Ricky to, you know, to handle this stuff. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance, or you can look her up at Insured by Ricky, R-I-C-K-I, insuredbyricky.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's. Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Winterfest continues nightly in downtown Pensacola. Catch the Grinch versus Santa scavenger hunt, the Polar Express Tour, Charlie Brown, and of course, Photos with Santa. Get all the details at visitpensacola.com. Friday night, it's a festive gallery night all along Palafox. This month's theme is Threads of Cheer. Join your friends and family for the music, food, and over 70 art vendors. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Hi, this is David Wayne, and I just want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
That's one of my favorites. I love that hymn. And the Pentatonix versions. They're fantastic. They really are. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, what was the thing that I saw yesterday? It was the wise men bringing their gifts to, you know, Jesus. And they're like, hey, bro, this is going to have to do for both Christmas and your birthday.
I feel sorry for people that have birthdays.
Anybody who's got a birthday in the last basically half of December. And I had four people when I was younger, you know, my girlfriend and several friends, all of whom had their birthdays were December 30th. And I always thought, so sad for you. Also annoying for me, four. Good Lord. What do you think? I'm made of money?
Yes.
Not a wise man. Here's your myrrh. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Police in Rhode Island are still searching for the suspect responsible for the shooting at Brown University last weekend. Two students were killed, nine people wounded. Tensions remain high after police briefly detained and released a person of interest earlier this week. New surveillance video shows a suspect dressed in black, wearing a mask, walking away from the campus after that shooting happened. Jury hearing closing arguments in a civil lawsuit over the death of Los Angeles Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs. The pitcher's widow and parents are suing the team over his 2019 overdose death. Skaggs bought drugs from former Angels PR executive named Eric Kay, who's now serving a 22-year sentence for that death. And President Trump hosting a Hanukkah reception at the White House tonight. That event has been a tradition since 2001.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 654 on News Radio 92.3. I got myself a, oh, that's what I was going to tell you. We watched a movie that I really recommend. I had never heard of it. It's based on a book that was written back in, I don't know, like the 70s or the 80s. It's called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Have you heard of this movie, John?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so the premise of the movie is you've got this small town that every year the church puts on the Christmas pageant. Only the woman who does the Christmas pageant and has done so for decades and decades in exactly the same way to make sure that none of the parishioners at the very, you know, proper sort of church is, are ever upset by anything. She gets hurt and she can't do the Christmas pageant. And this, you know, one mom in town decides to volunteer. And the only issue is that her family, her kids are having issues with this real troublemaker family, the Habertons or something, I can't remember the name. Anyway, they're like this family of, their parents aren't around, they're always beating other kids up and spitting and cursing, and, you know, they're the troublemaker family in town. Well, somehow they get wind of this pageant, and they decide to volunteer to be in the pageant. And the whole drama of the movie is around how do you incorporate these outsiders into the very nice, tidy Christmas pageant that's supposed to be about the birth of Jesus, which is fundamentally a story about outsiders and messiness and including people and the gospel saving those who are lost. And it is a beautiful movie, genuinely beautiful, because it pokes at all the things that, you know, sort of a lot of Christians need to have poked at, which is their expectation that everything is going to be neat and tidy and simple and, you know, that we can simultaneously believe in the gospel but not have to deal with the difficulty of bringing people from outside in and the questions that they raise, the right questions that they raise, because they look at a story like Mary and they think, I don't think that makes sense. You know, what about this? And you've seen the story 1,000 times, so you don't even think to ask questions anymore. It's actually, whenever I used to preach every once in a while, and I've preached like 12 times, that's the way I read my Bible. It's like, well, that's weird, and that's weird, and that's weird. But you've seen it 100 times, so you don't think it's weird anymore. But you should, because there's a lot of weird stuff in there. Anyway, it's a great movie. I highly recommend it. The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
And you can ask Talisha. I'm the one asking all the questions. Like, what? But why did that? But we, yeah. Yeah, just letting you know on that one, too. All right, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Starting to see about an 8-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound right around 10 Mile Road, seeing some delays there also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, somebody texted me, it was the Herdmans was the name of this troublesome family of kids in the movie. Yeah, no, it is genuinely a wonderful movie. Okay, I have a story here. There's so much. The world is insane. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. The world's insane. The more I think, as I look around me, I think, I don't know what it is, but it just gets worse and worse all the time. Or it seems to get crazier and crazier all the time. So Head Start, you know, the Head Start program for kids, okay? Head Start's had its funding issues, right? And we got the Escambia Children's Trust who just voted to put some of their money into Head Start to make up for the federal gap. That's a good choice, by the way, because Head Start's a really good program. There's a letter that was sent in applying for Head Start, and they got, but they got a response back, and the response back told them, hey, you can't use certain words in your application to Head Start, the words being black, belong, disability, female, minority, trauma, tribal, women, and accessible. They were told that you can't have these words in your applications. And there's now a lawsuit based by Head Start in a handful of states against the Department of Health and Human Services. The lawsuit alleges that Trump administration's ban on DEI in federal programs conflicts with Head Start's statutory mandate to help DEI people. The mandate includes things like linguistically and culturally appropriate services, as well as early intervention services for children with disabilities. And so they're basically being told that in order to do our mandate, we're not allowed to use language in the applications that will violate your standards about being DEI, but we have to because that's part of what we do. In fact, we're actually going to receive federal funding through the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and if we can't say words like disability, what are we supposed to do? So there's actually a list of words that they said you should not use these words in your applications. This might make the Transgressors Memorial Service.
No, it has to.
These are the words that they were told by the government they should limit or avoid in government documents. I mean, 1984 is here, baby. And this is these are liberal words being banned, but it's still thought control through terminology. It's the Trump administration running the 1984 show. The Ministry of Truth is here. These are the words: accessible, activism, activate, advocacy, advocate, affirming care, all-inclusive, allyship, anti-racism, anti-racist, assigned at birth, at risk, barrier, barriers, belong, belong, bias, biased, biologically male or female, BIPOC, black, breastfeed people, breastfeed person, climate crisis, clean energy. Don't say diversify. Don't say diversifying. Don't say diversity. Don't say gender identity. Don't say health equity or health disparity. Don't say hate speech. Don't say Gulf of Mexico.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.